Hello, everybody, and welcome to October's edition of the Pitching In NPL show. And joining
October
me...
October
edition? Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's a monthly
it's
review
an,
show.
October vision. Oh. It's an October vision.
Joining me here at the virtual Heat and Hops, Swamper. Hello, Swamper.
Good evening, everybody.
James Hayes is here, everyone.
Evening.
Simo's here.
I am. Hello.
Hello. And joining us, Berkey's here, who's been leaving this conversation now for the past 20 minutes. Berkey, hello.
I'm not here. I am an audio apparition.
Okay, good.
And, I'm off now. Hello, everyone. I hope you have a lovely season. Right, I'm off now. Bye. Have a nice show.
Oh, he's genuinely is leaving us now. Oh, I feel...
Yeah, yeah. I'm off.
Oh, no, he's still here. He's still here, everyone. He's not quite left.
I'm not.
Oh, he's not going yet. Oh, no, he's gone.
And that covers off the hiding staff.
Well, yeah, James, you're right.
There is something to be said about cameos on this show. I think sometimes the less spoken by Berkey and myself has always actually brought more listeners.
Joining us on this week's show as well, because we do have some football this weekend, Neil Young will be joining us, manager at Marine. Lee Picton, joint manager at South Shields, will be joining us too, as well as Neil Reynolds, Swamper.
Well, that's nice.
But James, there's only one place we could start the show. And actually, you know what? I'm coming to you first, Swamper, because you owe the listener an apology. Do you know what for?
Probably most things I've done over the last 15 years.
But specifically... In our season preview, you said we won't be here next month. Lo and behold, we were here last month. It's this month that's the last show. This month.
Oh, it's a month out. Wow. You know what? No, that is true. I mean, to be honest, I think we're very lucky to have got this far. Clubs have, I have to say, been absolutely superb in their approach, the way they've worked tirelessly with their volunteers and with club secretaries and all the people that work within football clubs, the players themselves, the management, and indeed the supporters, because it is very easy. To be honest, you can get a little bit blasé. And also the fact that, you know, financially, to even be able to put on a game, testament to everybody. And in a way, the hard work we've got, I think you mentioned it last night in FC Live, saying, enjoy your winter break. Well, I've always been an advocate of winter breaks, and this may be a winter break that you know, we can reform again come January and kick off the football.
James, how long is this going to last for, do you think?
I mean, obviously, suspensions for 4 weeks, give or take a couple for those in the FA Cup, because, again, the rules in place say if the team does get through in the FA Cup this weekend, they are allowed to train within a certain limit. We don't know what that limit's going to be. But they are being treated as an elite club at this moment in time. It's going to be a tough couple of weeks. And again, all credit to the clubs attempting to get the games out and play them as they have done, especially in most cases where clubs have had turnarounds of 48 hours to play games as well. Morpeth against Whitby Town was the biggest example of that. We asked them on the Thursday if they wanted to play the Saturday. The game got ahead straight away. So we've already said at the start of the season, clubs would have to adapt to a very strained season. And that's what's happened.
Simo, I was going to say, I mean, I go back to the preview show, and, you know, Swampy's right. To get to 9 league games like Warrington and Basford and Micklover have, it's pretty impressive considering the autumn and winter we've had.
Yeah, definitely. And everyone's played the part in that, haven't they? And James kind of touched on that with people being flexible, pragmatic and reacting quickly when the fixture list needed to be reshaped, either for teams being on cup duty or teams who've had to pause because of players self-isolating or the whole team self-isolating. And so that's been great. And I think there's a bit of an inevitability about this. You know, we were warned kind of in the broader country that there'd be a kind of winter return. Here it is. And I think that what you've got to factor in, and there has been a little bit of conversation about this, is it can't only be a four-week pause, because there's some chatter as well of, you know, if teams are going to be banned from even training, is it fair to then dive straight into a competitive fixture list after 4 weeks? So the first weekend in December, you can't really kind of dive into a full round of league games, I would argue. You're going to need a little bit of time, even if it's just for a couple of training sessions, maybe one friendly, before you can realistically kind of start competitive games again. I don't know if a decision's been made on that, but other people have raised this point. I'm not making an original point here, but it certainly should be factored in. And how long can we afford the pause to be? That's going to be where the debate goes next, I think.
All I will say to that one is a couple of the players have already said They're just going to be treated, I think they're treating this the same as a normal winter in the Northern Premier League. The clubs will still be getting the players to train individually, you know that straight away. But it's going to be, again, it's going to be a tough one to ask about getting them back together as a team. You never know 2 weeks down the road, because say, you know, groups of six can train again. We saw that in the summer.
So I want to go back to 2 points that were raised, if that's okay, very briefly. I think this fact, an idea Simo makes a very good point, is the fact that come December the 3rd or whatever it may well be, and we're back, allowed to get back into football, let's say, teams won't be up to the standard that they need to be again. Individual training's fine, but again, you know, you might come back on the 3rd and 3 or 4 players have COVID. You might have players that haven't been able to train. And for me, you've got to give an additional week for players and teams to get back into it. And equally, if the likes of FC and South Shields and all the other teams that are in the FA Cup are still in the FA Cup, the likelihood is they're going to have a much more of an advantage because they've been training continuously. We were talking about equally the great work that teams have done, the clubs themselves, would say, the volunteers and everything we're talking about. There's a reason behind that as well, to be honest. It's because without it, the clubs would be dead. We've had to try and create revenue off our own backs without any help whatsoever. It's an absolute travesty and disgrace when you hear the likes of government talking about, you know, the local team in the community is the bastion of the community and we need to help these people. And they never do. And the very small amount of money that clubs have been able to raise over this period, I mean, FC have been very lucky because they do get 600 week in, week out. And other clubs have been getting 200 and 300. So the little bit of money coming in is just like a it's like a drip. It's just keeping them afloat a little bit. That's it. We need more pressure. I know the FSF and other bodies as well, and I'm sure the Northern Premier League and other divisions are all fighting for this, but there has to be more pressure because there has to be money coming down. So I believe if you have a turnstile that people pay to get in to watch football, there should be a government grant available to that level of football all the way down.
I think also football does need to get better at collective action, which is kind of what Swampy's kind of alluding to. We've seen FC United, Scarborough and South Shields make a kind of joint stand about, yes, what are admittedly particular circumstances for them in the Premier Division, but if only 3 of the 22 Premier Division teams are making the kind of applying the pressure, it's much harder to kind of make your case, I think. We saw the failings of self-interest in football earlier in the year when ultimately lots of people sat on their ends, lost their tongues, didn't want to know, when there was this kind of attempt to avoid a null and void situation. And I think that would have had much more chance of success if there had been more unity of the teams kind of seeing the bigger picture. And this always is something that where football falls short, and it's going to stand a better chance, whether it is attracting funding or of kind of making sure we see the end of the season, if people can come together and for the bigger picture. That's what I want to see. I mean, I know in the FA statement earlier this week, they did say that their aim is to make sure the 2020-21 season is completed. So that was quite reassuring, even just to see that written down. But as time ticks by, I'll be interested to see kind of the will to make that happen. I think there's a kind of curious irony here in that when you've only played 5 or 6 games, it's actually easier to make the case to null and void it because there's hardly any points on the board. This was the travesty of earlier in the year. And I don't want to read off the arguments, but I do think Swampy's right. I do think, you know, even on the case for FC United, Scarborough and South Shields, it would have been nice that if other clubs could kind of come out and say, yeah, well, that's a good idea. They're being disproportionately hammered here. Because, yeah, they might have been getting 600 or 300 in the case of South Shields, but they must be making a massive loss at the moment, those three clubs, as well as all the others. But it is hitting them hardest.
It's not just the crowds, is it? I mean, we've covered it off with a couple of chairmen and managers. There's clubs like Aston United, Witton Albion, Radcliffe, who, you know, who have a social club that isn't being used and won't be used now for over a month.
Not just that as well. So you've got like fireside courts. Doesn't help with the fact that out of the 32 councils that operate in our league, separate ones have had separate rules. So again, it's making it difficult. And the league have tried to adapt. But it's winners who have decided to with Bolton Stadium, where they've had complete closure, to continue playing the games without any fans, or with cases like Scarborough, where they've had to play the first 6 games away just because of the rules up there. It's the fans at the same time need to play because they've pushed them forward a little bit, stuff like virtual sales. Clubs, again, I mean, Ben say every week on the weekly show, basically becoming TV stations themselves and charging £5, £6 to make up that gate fund. Obviously, the league have done their best to try and help in them matters with stuff like Kaiser and NQ coming to try and generate some funds. But I do agree there has to be some more help from somewhere. We are trying to push for that, and the clubs are doing the best we can, but it's more, we keep coming to an impasse because of local authorities, FA, 9 or 10 different factors.
Just as a point of comparison, football, semi-professional football's got itself in a situation where it needs to untangle or find a way forward in a season that's already started. The other thing that I still work heavily in rugby union, they've come out and made a decision to cancel the adult men's season for 2021. So they've knocked rugby union to next September. See you then. Leagues will reform. We'll start then. It's going to be really interesting in the next few months to see who's made the right call.
We've been here before, haven't we? This is the end of season shows last year, wasn't it? Well, I'm sure we'll come back to this because we're not going anywhere, let's be honest. So next month, lads, we'll have a little catch up about what's going to be happening.
To be honest, Ben, we'll be more factual about the results and how the teams have gone over the next month,
yes,
won't we?
Bob on.
Has there been any game?
Go on, Simo.
I think it's probably worth kind of, if you want to start to draw this to a close, and I don't think I'm speaking out of school, but there has been conversations between the league and the clubs about potential scenarios, but it's reassuring to a point that these talks have started already, and there's been some sketches done of what a adapted season might look like. So that's proof that there has been something learned from earlier in the year. And obviously, as the time is squeezed, those conversations will have to become more detailed and more real, I would imagine.
Well, let's talk about the football. And like I said, we'll return to this. We're going to carry the show on. Basically, how it's going to work is, normally this week I'd do a Step 4 show, but I'm going to spread them out. So next week we'll talk about the FA Cup results, and then the week after I'll do a North West show, and then a South East show, and then hopefully we'll be back up and running again. But, you know, that's fingers crossed.
It's like, as if, Ben, you're the only person that's still employed in football.
I'm just squeezing the sponge as much as I can. But anyway, I did a whole season of rugby league shows without any rugby league. I was very impressed with myself. Anyway.
Well, that's what I mean. I mean, you know what? And you were about as spot on as you were the previous season after watching the rugby league.
But we do have some football this weekend. The FA Cup, the first round proper. And we've got some interviews with some managers coming up, which have been conducted later in the week. Should say we're recording this bit of the show on Wednesday. And we'll start off with Marine, I think, Simo. Chester 0, Marine 1. That sets up this weekend's match away at Colchester United. Can they do it?
I've no idea. I think I find the FA Cup, and you guys will see from a different perspective, FC, because your team's still in it, find it a bit depressing that it's taking place with no supporters there. I was depressed about that in the last round. And Marine were one of the teams that, what a day that would have been to celebrate with their supporters, not just because they knocked out a higher ranked team, but for what that meant. They're going to be playing in the first round of the FA Cup for the first time in their case for a quarter of a century. These things are, for some clubs, particularly playing at Step 3 and 4, they are once-in-a-generation things. And I just think I'm not knocking anybody. I just find it's really taken a lot of the excitement out of the FA Cup that fans can't be part of this. This is about fans and players when you get to this round. It's not about prize money. It's not about money that you can make from playing these games. For me, it is about the players. It is about the supporters enjoying these moments together, and I feel gutted for Marine that they're going to go into this game and they can't do it backed by what. And they're also a club that travels really well. Their supporters do really get behind them when they go on the road in big cup games. Whether there being no supporters there becomes this level that we've heard a lot of chatter about, I honestly don't know. I'm not convinced, to be honest. But look, they've done fantastic to get this far. They've got to enjoy the occasion as much as they possibly can in a bizarre context. But yeah, I find it so hard to get excited because of the situation we find themselves in. But good luck to them. Let's see what happens.
And James, the form that Marine have got at the moment, you'd be forgiven really if they'd slip up after the Chester result. But there they are, 3 back-to-back league wins, including, you know, that 4-0 against Pickering. They've been pretty good, haven't they, in recent weeks, Marine, since Chester?
They have been indeed. I mean, especially with just Josh Havani in the team, who is quite literally a set-piece master at this moment too. So they've got every chance of getting through to the next round. It's not going to be an easy task because obviously they are playing Colchester. But from what I've heard, Colchester don't tend to have a good record against non-league sides, even when they were one themselves.
I was going to say, though, I mean, Marine have already done a giant killing, you know, recently with the Stalybridge result in the FA Trophy as well. So, you know, they've got the likes of Niall Cummins there. They've got a good squad, haven't they?
Yeah, they have need. I mean, I know, obviously, Cyril just said a second ago about Maddox out of the FA Cup as well. It is a little bit this year, but it's still the first round. You're still going to have that excitement. I think the fact as well that the FA have got involved and make sure every team's had an opportunity for TV as well. Just adds that little bit of magic back in. But going back to the game, yeah, Marine, I can't see him not giving it a go, really.
Well, we're joined now down the other end of the phone by the welcome return of Marine manager Neil Young. And Neil, you're on the team bus going down to Colchester right now. Tell us about the mood on the bus on the way down.
The mood's very good. Obviously, it's a big game for the football club to be in the first round proper of the FA Cup. We're in good form. In recent weeks, you know, lads have been really well. Deserve this tie, and looking forward to it.
I mean, given the fact, you know, that great performance against Chester, you'd be forgiven for your squad to take its eye off the ball. But the league form has really picked up as well in recent games. So, what's your take on the form heading into this game at Colchester?
Well, I think we've played 13 games now. We've won 11 of them. You know, and the big worry was after the Chester game, you know, we had a midweek league fixture that week. We managed to beat Pickering 4-0. You know, and that's great credit to the players to be able to come off the back of that fantastic win at Chester to win in the league game. We know, you know, we've got to make sure we stay in the league campaign as well. The teams are above us, are playing lots of games, very good teams, and we can't let them get away. So we've just got to go in and make sure our league form is as good as what the cup form has been.
And when it comes to the FA Cup, I mean, how important is this game for Marine? Because obviously it's been a couple of years since relegation. You've already, by getting to this point, made a statement about, you know, Marine on the way back. I mean, how important is this game for what you're trying to achieve at the club?
It's a very important game for the club. You know, it's a win at Chester, you know, it was a fantastic result. This is the furthest the club's been for 25 years. You know, it gives a lot of pride as a football club, and we're looking forward to the game. You know, that's the key bit, and we know how big the game is. We know the enormity of the task down here, going down to Colchester. But it's about enjoying it, but also making sure we put in a performance.
So you're on your way down to Essex now. So what's your preparations going to be like when you get there? Have you got a training pitch lined up and that kind of thing?
Yeah, so obviously, we believe it or not, we booked the hotel on Monday, which unfortunately, once lockdown was given, that hotel closed. We've had to find somewhere else. So yeah, we're travelling down. We'll have evening meal together tonight, up early in the morning. You know, we'll do a light session in the morning, back, get ready, pre-match in them, and then obviously travel down to Colchester.
And what's your take on the challenge ahead? Obviously, you know, Colchester are going to be, you know, a very worthy opponent. So what's your take on the challenge?
It's a tough game. You know, Colchester, I think, are 3 points off the playoffs. They've had a fantastic win in midweek, against, you know, 3-1 against Stevenage. Boy up top got a hat-trick. So, you know, we're well aware of the enormity of the task. But it's about going there, giving our best, which these lads have done throughout the whole season, and see where that takes us.
And let's talk about what this means for the club more generally. Marine's getting some great publicity here out of this cup run. Obviously, it's going to be, there's TV coverage as well available for the game. This is much needed spotlight on the club and step four non-league football as well, and the challenges that the club faces during COVID.
It is, and I think every non-league club will tell you the same. When they get any sort of FA Cup run, you know, it's fantastic for the football club. It's fantastic for exposure. And as you say, with the current pandemic and all the restrictions on that, and it, you know, as you say, it's fantastic for the football club. We were last in this competition at this stage 25 years ago, and I think that a lot's been made of that over the last few weeks. And as you say, there's been plenty of exposure, and you know, the chairman's been on all sorts of shows, both in this country and abroad, believe it or not. So, yeah, we're looking forward to it. Exposure's been great, and now it's all looking forward to the actual game, and that, you know, that's the key bit in all this.
And final question then, Neil. Obviously, it's a shame there's going to be no away fans, because, you know, I'd imagine there'd be quite a few going down to the South East with you. But what's your message to that Marine faithful, and as well as, you know, the supporters in Merseyside more generally ahead of this game tomorrow?
Well, it's good that they'll be able to tune in, you know, on BBC on the red button. So I'd ask them to all do that. You know, we'll be trying our best, and hopefully we can do something for them. And who knows? You know, we could be talking about the second round, but you know, let's not get ahead of ourselves. We've got a massive tie in our hands and a very difficult task. But as I said before, to the fans back home and everybody, will be giving it our absolute best.
Well, Neil Young, manager at Marine, a big thank you for taking the time out of your busy schedule to come on the show. Best of luck tomorrow. And I know I always say this, but I will speak to you in the next round, my friend.
Thanks, Ben. Ciao, mate.
Neil Young there, manager of Marine. Swampy, before we heard from Neil there, Simo was saying about atmosphere and that kind of thing. And FC United, in the previous rounds, we played Curzon Ashton, and that was, I think, the first competitive game in an empty stadium I've ever commentated on. And it is weird. Is it a leveller?
I think the Marine Chester game, not a huge amount of difference in league difference, let's be honest. The same applies to Curzon and FC United. Only one division separated those two teams. I think at that level, I think it's quite an even and open game. I think once you get into the professional game, and we see it in the professional game, I mean, what's going to be interesting on Saturday is whether the BBC or whichever outlet, be it BT Sports and all the digital platforms, insist upon fan noise in the ground to give an atmosphere. Because it wouldn't surprise me that.
I think, Swampy, just to confirm, I think that's what they're trying to do. They are trying to,
yes.
But they're trying to do it. Now, they are consulting with the clubs, I think, to see if they've got the specific chants recorded and that kind of thing.
There'll be a lot of bleeping out. There'll be a lot of bleeping out of FC songs as well, because they'll be like, I'll tell you about it. Now, the one thing I look at, and occasionally I watch Premier League games, and I've also watched league games with no fans in. And what I've noticed is that players of average ability, in essence, very good footballers still, but an average ability, are playing much better than they ever would because there's no pressure on them. So they're playing the game, they're scoring worldies week in, week out, and you're going, hold on a second. And you always used to hear it, didn't you? They're amazing on the training ground. They can never do it in the game. But these players are now doing it in the game. So my fear is that without any fans there and playing against league opposition, it's going to be very, very difficult for the likes of FC, the likes of Marine, to get these sort of like what they would have with the crowd. If it was a normal game, and FC were playing at home against Doncaster Rovers, and there was even Doncaster Rovers supporters in there, there'd be nearly 5,000 supporters in there, it would be bouncing. We saw what the crowd did at Rochdale in 2010. 7,500 supporters in the ground, primarily most FC United fans. The noise was incredible. And the same for Marine. If they had gone to Colchester with supporters, you can guarantee though that the Marine supporters would have outsung the Colchester supporters. The difference being is when there's no crowd in the ground, I think it's just easier for the home team. They treat it like a training session. They're fitter, they're faster. They've been doing things that they don't normally do. There's no pressure on them. They're not going to get the goalkeeper's not going to get, you know, you big fat questionable parenthood song, because it's not going to be there, is it? So all those things, you know, and we're not even going to get to see a man or a woman with a dog in the FA Cup, are we? And that's what they always look. Oh, there's he's been supporting the club for 97 years, and that's just his dog. He's called Ethel. He's in the corner there. That's what they do. The beauty of the FA Cup, I think you're right, Simo, soiled to a degree with no supporters in there. And I would like to see, I don't know whether I want this sound, this noise in the ground.
As a very quick aside, I was watching my team play in the Champions League last night. Now, Real Madrid aren't playing home games at the Bernabeu this season. They're playing it at their training ground, all the Champions League games. So you've got this game between two of the giants of the European game on a windy open field, basically, because there's no stands there. So you can hear the players shouting to each other. But it must be next to a main road, because partway through the first half, the game was interrupted by the sound of a lorry reversing, and it was really upsetting. All you could hear was the beep, beep. And so, I mean, as a televisual spectacle, it was a disaster. I don't think the players are the same. I think Swampy's right. To bring it back to this conversation, certainly when you've got a home tie as a non-league club, the crowd are a massive, massive factor in whether you've got a chance of causing an upset. And I know, Ben, you asked Lee Picton about this when he was on the show a couple of weeks ago, about how it's affecting the teams who are used to playing in front of 2,000-3,000. And there is no doubt in my mind that it is affecting their results, because the crowd are a factor. Whether we, it's undeniable. You know, South Shields are struggling in a game. They've got 2,500 people stirring them to get back into it. At the moment, they've got 300, and it's no surprise to me that they've been losing home games. It's not a coincidence.
I don't know about Ethel, the non-league dog, but Gary, the truck driver, I think that's that could work in non-league football.
It was incredible. Yeah. It was incredible.
Let's talk about FC United then. This weekend, they'll be taking on Doncaster Rovers at an empty Broadhurst Park. And for more on this, I caught up with the manager at FC United. It's a welcome back to the show to Neil Reynolds. Well, Neil, a big thank you for joining us. And obviously, we're on the eve of a big game tomorrow against Doncaster Rovers. What's the mood in the camp like?
I mean, you say big, Ben. You know, for me personally, for this current squad, it's the biggest game that we've been involved in. So you can imagine the excitement levels. You can also imagine the nervousness around the place as well. In terms of how the lads are prepared, we're prepared exactly the same way. We're obviously on the back of a great performance and win against Warrington. We trained well last night. We had a team meeting after training. And the lads have, got round each other today and, just spent a bit of time with each other to get ready for tomorrow. I've had the fortunate experience of being at the ground today and seeing the astronomical amount of work that's gone on to the place, not just from, obviously, the TV crew with all the LED boards and the new gantry stand, etc., but the fans that have been in to redesign the stadium with flags, helping around, cleaning the place up for tomorrow. It's been so impressive. And I know, going back to your first question, what's the morale like with the squad? When they walk into this place tomorrow, they will not know what's it to, it's literally transformed. And, for me, it's just another massive thank you to the incredible people that are the fans of FC United.
Because that's the trick, isn't it? Because obviously FC United have moved from, for this game, like South Shields and Marine have, you've moved from non-elite to elite now, and that means no crowd. So it's kind of a lot of work's gone in behind the scenes to fill that void as best the club can.
There hasn't, we've talked at length, and I've talked to different people at length about the complication of which is elite and not elite football. For me, you can say whatever you want. People could question all day long. This is an elite football club. Should be playing in the National League North. The season, how it ended last season, should have given us the opportunity to progress, and it didn't. We've shown, along with South Shields, that there was a reason why we finished 1-2 last season, and both teams have made it through to the first round proper. So try and tell the South Shields and FC United and Manchester that we're not an elite side. But obviously the government have a category. The FA have a category of teams, and it's kind of when it suits, Ben. It feels as though that we're in the FA competition and we're flying the flag for the Northern Premier League and non-league football. This weekend we're elite, and then if we win, we've got to go back to kind of that non-elite status and train Tuesday, Thursday and get ourselves ready for an FA Cup second round in 3 weeks with no competitive football. So, it's difficult, and that's what, it's got to be weighed up. If we're elite or you want us to be elite 1 week, then surely your contribution should be made financially to the football club, which would be very welcome, as we belong to Scarborough and South Shields that are built on fan-based models. But we're not, but then all of a sudden they want us to be elite. So it's difficult. And what I've got to do, Ben, is protect my players from that, because this is just football for us. The political shenanigans that sits behind it is obviously sits a lot higher than what we do. But I know that there's consistent voices across the pyramid that are saying the same things. And we've just got to get on with it. We've got to get on with it. We will not let that distract us from, like I said, one of the biggest days in the club's history, the biggest day certainly my short tenure at the club, and certainly the biggest game in a lot of the players' history as well.
And obviously there's been a lot made about FC United rising to the occasion every 5 years or so. And without fail, you've got FC United to the first round here, 5 years after Chesterfield and 10 years after Rochdale. FC fans will remember Bonfire Night in 2010 and quite an atmosphere, 4,000 people there at Spotland, just from an FC perspective. It is a shame, but you've got that support certainly in the round chairs back home.
Ben, I didn't know until a couple of weeks ago. Somebody gave me the statistic about, born in 05, Rochdale and Brighton in 10 and Chesterfield in 15 and now Donny Rovers in 20. What has taken me back is, going back 2 years when, people were telling me the club wasn't in a great place and we needed to do a lot of work behind the scenes. Let me tell people that are listening, this is a, the most amazing football club with amazing volunteers, amazing fans. And, you know, whatever's gone on before that, we can't change. You know, the club's had a great history in such a short space of time. And you take your hat off to Carl Margeson, you know, and the squad and people who have worked on the board before that. You know, I walked into a situation that we needed to rebuild. And, you know, I made a promise that we'll rebuild and we have to go backwards to come forwards. But make no bones about it, though. People say there wasn't togetherness here and don't touch your job. There is bundles of togetherness here and we're all singing off the same hymn sheet, you know, whether or not it's, you know, the media side or the volunteers or the club shop or the people who make the drinks and the pies, whatever it is, you know, putting the flags up, we're all together and we're all rooting for the same cause, which is, you know, FC United of Manchester. So for the fans back home tomorrow, you know, like I said, I'm devastated. You know, I feel I've got such a connection with these fans and it won't be the same walking out tomorrow, and I'll still walk out and I will still clap because I'll be clapping the people back home. Somebody said, give us a team to be proud of. And I hope that, well, I know, but I hope even more that, you know, the fans back home in their armchairs or wherever you are watching it across the world tomorrow, that you're super proud of this team. You know, I'm extremely proud of them. I'm extremely proud of my management team, but I'm, you know, just proud to be part of FC United in Manchester. And, you know, we're back on the map and we're not here to make up numbers tomorrow. You know, we're going to give it a really good go. And if come quarter to eight tomorrow night, the result goes against us, we've been beaten by the better side. But, you know, I'm a big believer. I'm an optimist. And, you know, if we turn up and potentially, you know, they don't turn up with their A game, who knows what can happen? That's the magic of the FA Cup. But, you know, just to kind of get behind us, and I know you will do, you know, loads of work's gone into this week with the flags and songs that are going to be played tomorrow. So we'll try and give people another opportunity to come and see this side play the FA Cup. Because in a few weeks' time, you never know, we might have had a reversal on crowds, etc. So just keep cheering us on and we'll do what we can do.
And finally, Neil, from a footballing point of view as well, it's been quite a fortnight. You know, obviously you played guys there, a fantastic result there, a great game of football away at South Shields. Obviously, South Shields got the win in that one, but that could have gone either way. In all fairness, the Mask game, the great win against Warrington midweek. Can't really say you're not match sharp. That's for sure. Is there a benefit to that in a way? As because if the players aren't going to be up for this game, they'll never be up for a game of football.
I still go back to the point, despite winning in midweek, I still go back to the point that I believe the league should have stepped in and given the likes of Marine, South Shields and ourselves grace and preparation time. You know, albeit we got the 3 points, you can't underestimate what 90 minutes takes about your legs, and it does. So we've had to, you know, be really meticulous in our approach and get people, you know, back up and running. You know, in terms of the games, I think we've had a really good start, a really tough start to the season, and we've played a lot of really good sides, and that included Mars last week when we didn't perform to our potential. But, you know, with all good sides, you come and bounce back, and we play well at South Shields. Well, the guys in the win, we play well at South Shields, and you get beat. Not great against Mars, and then you know, do you question the character? No, not at all, because this side know how to bounce back, and they did that in fashion against Warrington on Tuesday night, which set us into Thursday, which was a real bounce. And now everyone can't wait. You know, we just cannot wait. So, yes, we're match sharp, but even if you have got heavy legs and tired legs, I just think the adrenaline takes you through tomorrow. And when you pose that statistic that, you know, potentially 1.5 million to 2 million people are going to be watching you back on, the stadium's designed in such a way there's a second round opportunity, you're playing against a League One side, you know, whichever way you want to say it, these lads will be up for the game tomorrow. And, you know, I just hope that everyone associated with the club enjoys it. You know, we'd like to wish Doncaster Rovers all the best as well, but tomorrow come 5:30 we'll be doing everything we can do to progress in this historic competition.
Neil Reynolds, manager of FC United, and who should have come to? Swamper. You know, it's like Simo said earlier, players push that little bit further, don't they, when they're being roared on by a partisan crowd, and there isn't one. So that's where we go back to what we were talking about before.
Yeah, well, we know that's the case, definitely. The 11th fan is something special. Everyone's club, in fairness, and
why are you saying 11th? Is that because FC United always have a player sent off in their matches?
Good point, well made. The 12th fan, You know, I think this is where you got a good manager, a good psychological manager who's going to work with the players and work with those guys to say, look, you know, this is for some of them a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Playing against a league football club, you've got to go out there, do yourself the justice, work hard, do what we always do. We've had 2 or 3 days additional to track, train and practice. But we talked about, you know, managers already complaining about injuries. Well, FC United played a 43-year-old yesterday. in their league match against the second in the division, Warrington Town. Dave Chadwick.
I thought he played a blinder.
Came on. Well, he did. I mean, he never touched the ball, but he took four players out, which is exactly what you want from a centre half. It's about positive mental attitude, going into the game, working hard. Look, FC United aren't going to disgrace themselves. They're getting beaten by a very good Doncaster team. We've got a very young squad, young, good quality players. That it'll be a good match. You know, it'll be a good game. The service is fantastic. It's going to be under the floodlights. And then as soon as the game's off, basically the floodlights are turned off because we can't afford them because we've got no support in the ground. As long as FC, as long as South Shields and as long as certainly Marine play the way they can, enjoy the day, whatever happens. I don't see them, all three of them, coming through it, but equally give a good account of themselves.
Let's talk about South Shields. South Shields travelling to Cheltenham Town on Saturday, and to judge the mood in the camp, I caught up with one of the joint managers at the club. It's a welcome back to the show to Lee Picton.
Yeah, fantastic at the moment, as you know, you would probably expect. A lot of anticipation, a lot of excitement as to what lays ahead of us this weekend. We had a short but really sharp training session this morning with the squad, and, you know, spirits are high.
We'll get to the actual game itself in a second, but we do have to talk about the last round. A phenomenal performance, to say the least. I mean, what was your take on that victory?
Yeah, it was. It was, you know, arguably our best performance this season, Ben, and I think we showed that, you know, when we get things right at our end, that we're a match for just about any side, you know, in non-league football. You know, Halifax are, you know, a really strong National League side, and of course, it's a one-off game. But on the day, we were very worthy winners, and, you know, we could have in fact won the game with a more healthy margin. So we were delighted with the performance, and I guess it's set a bar for us for the remainder of the season. And if we can get to those levels consistently, and, you know, obviously our results since then have been strong as well. And we just feel like we're starting to get a little bit closer to where we feel we can be, you know, hopefully for the rest of the season.
I was going to say, I mean, last time we spoke was obviously after the FC United victory last week. And at that point, it felt like you were turning the corner, as it were. You know, the Halifax result backs that up. And, you know, a good 1-0 win away at Gainsborough Trinity as well midweek. So you're hitting form at the right time.
Yeah, obviously, you know, I guess the cornerstone of that has been our defensive record. You know, 5 clean sheets in a row now. And we've been good for that as well. We just need to just find that extra little bit of quality and belief in ourselves in the final third. You know, you mentioned the gains for a victory. In all honesty, we should have been much more comfortably. Well, we should have been ahead by, you know, in my opinion, 2 or 3 goals at half time, and then it's a different game altogether going into the final stages of that match. But, you know, we'll obviously take the 3 points, and yeah, we go into tomorrow's game with a lot of confidence, and the pressure's off us. It's a slightly different situation for us compared to normal. We're the underdogs, and hopefully we can play with a bit of freedom and you know, relax a little bit more, hopefully, in the final third. And if we can get things right, then we're in no doubt that we can cause them problems tomorrow.
With no disrespect to some of the teams you've already played this season, I mean, would you say as well that, you know, in your squad, when you look at the quality of calibre of players that you've got in the squad, would I be safe in saying, you know, you've got some pretty big game players in that team as well, who, you know, I wouldn't put it past them to step up against Cheltenham tomorrow?
Well, that was certainly, you know, that evidenced itself against Halifax. I think we've seen players really, really step up and almost find another level due to the, you know, the quality of opposition that we were playing. So yeah, Cheltenham, we've obviously done our homework on Cheltenham, and they look to be an expansive, you know, football playing side, and you know, we're looking forward to just a really, really good game of football tomorrow. And if we can keep ourselves in the game with, you know, 20, 30 minutes to go, we're hoping that extra little bit of pressure might creep in for them. You know, they're expected to win tomorrow. So, if we can stay in the game with 20, 30 minutes to go, then who knows what might happen.
And given the last, you know, 8 months that South Shields have been through as well, it's a similar question I'd be asking to Neil Reynolds. You know, there's A bit of a spotlight being put on step three of non-league football, just at the right time as well, I feel. You know, what does this game mean for South Shields? Because you've not been to the first round in decades. So, I mean, this is pretty important stuff for the club, I'm going to suggest.
Yeah, of course. And, you know, in two ways, really. You know, the glamour of, you know, and the prestige, you know, the raising the profile of the club itself through, you know, being in a national competition at this stage. But also the financial implications, you know. You mentioned FC United. Obviously, we feel we're in a similar boat to them, and so much as we feel like we've been somewhat left in the lurch financially, given the fact that there's been no support handed to us like there has been in the tiers above us. So, yeah, it's on a financial level, it's a bit of a lifeline for us, to allow us to operate. You know, the club has obviously got a lot of commitments financially, as a number of clubs have at our level, and it's you know, it provides an opportunity to pick up some much needed prize money. And if we could get a win tomorrow, I know it's a big if, but if we could get a win tomorrow, then, you know, the financial rewards could be massive.
It's such a long journey as well, we have to say. I mean, you know, you have to travel to this side of the Pennines a fair few times during a football season, but this is way beyond the other side of the Pennines, isn't it? So obviously no fans going to be there either. So what's your message to the South Shields faithful who'll no doubt be watching from afar and listening from afar tomorrow?
Yeah, we're obviously devastated. We know that we would have taken a huge number of fans down to Cheltenham if the circumstances had been in any way, shape or form normal. But message to the fans would be that, you know, we'll do our absolute utmost to hopefully make you all proud of supporting our wonderful club. And I'm sure, you know, the FC United fans are in exactly the same boat. And, you know, we wish Neil and his side all the best in tomorrow's tie. And fingers crossed we can both find ourselves in the hat for the second round.
Lee Picton there, joint manager at South Shields. Simo, have South Shields got a chance?
Yes, they have got a chance. And the game's coming at a really good moment for them because, you know, you've had Lee Picton on a couple of times this season and there's been a little bit of frustration at their inconsistency. But they've actually had a really, really good couple of weeks with FA Cup wins, FA Trophy wins, and they've started to pick up some points in the league. In fact, the suspension of the league's coming at a really bad time for them because they've just started to creep back up the league table. So the good thing is they'll still get to be able to play a game this weekend and take that good form into the weekend. As I touched on earlier, because of some of their struggles at Mariners Park this season, I don't know, maybe they'll be that bothered about going away from home to Cheltenham.
It's a long way, isn't
it? Never bet against... Yeah. It's a long way, but never bet against South Shields. They've took some great cup scalps already during their climb up pyramid, and they'll be this means a little bit more to them because it's the first time that the Reform Club has made the first round, so there's a kind of historical resonance to the game this weekend. And I echo what Swampy says. As long as they kind of represent the league and players that as we know that they can, we can't ask any more of them.
I think, personally, they are a team that welcome better opposition. I think they're a team that, because they primarily train every day, I know there's a few players that don't train every day, but the vast majority of the team do. So they're a unit. They'll travel down, so they'll train down in Cheltenham on Friday, and then they're ready for the game. But they're a team that actually perform against good opposition. I think, to a certain degree, their problem in the NPL is, or has been, is that they don't play as well, and no disrespect, against the better footballing teams. You saw the FC United game, the South Shields FC United game. It was a spectacle of football. Two teams being allowed to play football, and it made for a great game. And that is what they enjoy. If Cheltenham close them down and just get in their faces, that's when it's tough for teams like South Shields. And to a degree, it's tough for teams like FC United and Manchester. Those footballing teams, if you've got Cheltenham who are playing football and South Shields play football, I think they've got a really good opportunity to show and express their talent. And it could be, I'm not saying it should be, but it could be the game where they move into the second round.
Well, a big good luck to Marine, South Shields and FC United this weekend. And of course, on next week's show, we'll be speaking to all three of them about the second round draw and who they're going to be playing next. Ordinarily, at this point, I'd talk about the fixtures for this weekend in the league, but there aren't any. But, Simo, I'd like to just mention a couple of sides who I think have had phenomenal first parts of the season. Mickleover, they end this part of the season top of the table. It's been an absolutely phenomenal rise, hasn't it, this season by John McGrath's side?
Yeah, nobody, and I literally mean nobody associated with the Northern Premier League or follows non-league football would have predicted this. And I said in the little group chat that we've got last night that they perhaps have recorded one of the results of the season by going to Nantwich Town and wiping the floor with them on Tuesday night to win 4-0, inflicted on Dabbers their first league defeat of the season. And I know Nantwich haven't really hit anything close to top gear yet, but they were still unbeaten in the league this season. To go there and deliver a performance like that and put and achieve a result like that is really, really striking. And I had John McGrath on the show last week. It was a really interesting interview. Obviously, he's going to try and keep everybody's feet on the ground, but it was interesting how he was talking about a slight change of emphasis with their recruitment. You know, we've kind of talked quite a lot on this show the last couple of years about the veterans in that team and the part that they play, and it's still sprinkled with know-how, but how he's kind of scouted around, used his contacts to bring in players from a lower division, and they seem to be really thriving. The challenge is how it is can they sustain it, but look at some of the teams they've turned over already. They turned over Warrington, turned over Nantwich. Their result against to beat Witten looks a good result when you look at the run that Witten have been on since. So they're beating good sides to have got where they are. It did make me smile that he got his first Project 42 reference of the season. I did enjoy that. And just to close, I mean, Berkey did say in the pre-season show, shout out to Berkey, he did say it was time that Mickleover started to kind of become a team that is we're familiar with seeing in the top half of the table. Who's to say that this isn't the season that they make that statement? It's not a moment to make bold predictions, but fair play to them. Tremendous, tremendous start to the season. Doing it with a little bit of style as well. They play good football, and all power to John McGrath.
I suppose it depends whether or not, or if the season was to finish today, well, they wouldn't, because it would depend, wouldn't it? Because it depend on points per game, or indeed top of the league. Points per game, it's Matlock.
Oh yeah,
so you know, yes,
yeah, you're right.
It's Matlock. So therefore, again, you know, let's not, you know, they've done a superb job, but we don't know how it's going to end. If it did end, they've been absolutely outstanding. Don't get me wrong, but I just throw that one in just in case you're about to say they were the National League North when you got it wrong.
just to draw a line under this part of the season, basically, it's been a pretty good start to the season. You know, everyone has been putting some great performances in, and it's very unpredictable, isn't it, at the minute, James?
I keep saying it every week. This is a striker's season this year, and the teams that are keeping the clean sheets are the ones at the top of the league. Obviously, coming back to Matlock there at the same time, points per game-wise, yeah, they've had a little bit of a break because of the circumstances over the last 2 weeks. But yeah, you look at the results there, 1-0 against away at South Shields, they could be a threatening side going forward. They're going to be a team to really fit. And that's not forget last night as well. Come back there against Colville in the FA Trophy. 3-0 down with 30 minutes to go. Come back to win it on penalties. Shows what they can do.
I think the highlight for me for the season so far is not necessarily... It's the football, obviously, is the product. But it's the product that's being put in front of us by the radio crews, the TV camera people, and all those people that are making the game still accessible at an affordable price to our supporters. And what it's doing for a lot of supporters, I mean, because the vast majority of supporters, let's be truthful, they go to the home games, and they very rarely, seldom, we get a large travelling away supporters. But what you're getting now is, because every club has got live television, you can watch your club home and away, so you get to see these games, and you get to see the great work, great commentary, and what I've also been very impressed with is the unbiasedness of the vast majority of commentators on the television. For the nine games that have been pretty much played by the most teams. And I would like to see, it's a personal thing, but I would like to see when we do come out of this lockdown and when supporters are allowed in, it would be great to have a live game available still for away games. It would be wonderful. It's not going to detract But in any way, shape, but you know, from attendances.
One man's away game is another man's home game. That's the only trouble with that one.
What?
I'm saying you're going to make it available for away fans, but essentially you're making it available for home fans, aren't you?
Yeah, but the thing is, we know in semi-professional football, especially our division, that supporters are going to say, you know what, especially with your camera work after last night, Ben. Oh, I mean it's the first time in history that FC United have actually given the money back.
Right.
You'd still charge for it, though, wouldn't you? So you're not.
Yeah.
You can watch the highlights back. You can watch the highlights back on FC United's Twitter feed. It wasn't that bad. Wasn't that bad? Once it worked out what Zoom was.
The point I'm making is everyone doesn't have Twitter.
No.
Okay. You know, this is at the moment a great package, and it's actually good for supporters, and it's good for other people watching this division as well, so they're getting a chance to see other football. You know, I think it's been great, but I want to say thank you to everybody that's actually produced, worked on it, because certainly for me living here in Brussels, with the exception of the FA Cup, which I can't watch because of broadcasting rights, because they're always shown here in Brussels. Match of the day, non-league special, 10 o'clock on a Saturday. We all sit here waiting to see the results and see the games here. I mean, I don't know where the broadcasting rights come from, because I've never seen an FA Cup game shown here in Belgium, ever.
Just to finish things off, just a quick mention for the underdogs, Simo. We mentioned Mikulova. We should mention Witton Albion and Atherton Colls. They've been pretty good, haven't they, at the start of the season?
I'm glad you mentioned Witton, because I was about to disconnect the call if we spent an hour online and didn't talk about how well they'd started the season. No, they've done great. Actually, perversely, probably one of the teams that are a little bit frustrated they've not played more games, because they've had a dance with Crew Alexandra to try and arrange a Cheshire FA Senior Cup tie, and it's actually denied Witton two midweek Premier Division games. So they are slightly behind some of the others, and I was speaking to Carl about this last weekend, and he was saying, obviously, every manager, when you're playing well and winning games, wants to play as often as possible to rack up as many points as possible. But yeah, they're absolutely delighted, won five of the past six games, and the pause is coming at precisely the wrong time for them. Atherton Colls, saw them last week. They came to Winsham Park, were totally outclassed in the first half, but played really, really well in the second half. They got some good players at Atherton Colls, a very bright young manager who made tactical changes at half-time to completely turn that game around. I did fear a little bit for them this season, because they pulled a lot of lads up from lower levels, but they've got some tidy players there. And after seeing them, providing they can get enough goals out of spreading it through the teams, obviously they lost Benton, there's a lot of talent there. I think they'll have a decent season, Atherton Colls. Really impressed with them.
Well, on that note, that's the end of this monthly show.
Before you do, Ben, I just want to say, and I'm sure everyone else would like to say this as well, is that the untimely passing of Dave Tomlinson from the North West Counties Division, who many people have known over many, many, many years in football, and from a personal FC note, we have to be very thankful for him 15 years ago, allowing FC United. He was one of the few that actually was there, supported, and said FC United will be for the betterment of semi-professional football. And he fully backed us and has continued to back us until, you say, his untimely death this week. And I'd just like to say thanks to him. And the North West Counties has lost a stalwart of football, and football in general has done that as well. So it was just that little mention to Dave Tomlinson I'd like to mention.
Yes, absolutely. That's the end of the MPL show for the month of October. Like I said, we should be back next week with a normal weekly show where we try and discuss the FA Cup. And hopefully, fingers crossed, I've got three teams to talk to next week. But a big thank you to Swampit all the way from Belgium.
Thank you very much. Good luck, FC, and all the other teams for Saturday. Hope you all do yourselves justice and very proud.
A big thank you to Andrew Simpson all the way in Cheshire.
No problem. Good to see you.
And a big thank you to James Hayes from his living room. And that's the end of the show. Big good luck in the FA Cup. And you all make sure that you stay safe, and you'll be hearing from us again very soon. Bye-bye.